Welcome to another edition of the Coffee Cast with Cation, brought to you by our good friends at New Balance, as well as The Document. If you have one of those competitions that you're always keeping track of with friends, whether it be FIFA, Fortnite Online, even as something as simple as rock, paper, scissors, make sure you download The Document, a simple way to keep track of all of the stats with all of your friends. You can also exchange some money online if those competitions get a little bit heated. You can also support the Coffee Cast by going to patreon.com/MikeCTennis, and you can buy our coffee. We certainly appreciate all of your support. And let's see, it's a double espresso day for our guest, Dan Evans. I'm going with a cappuccino. I'm working my way towards the espresso level. It's you Brits have a little bit more experience with the coffee than I do, and I'm getting there. I'm trying. But a cappuccino is about all I've got. Dan Evans, our guest, thank you for joining us on the Coffee Cast.
No problem.
It's been a couple years since you and I have had a proper chat, Evo. I know some things have happened in your life, and I appreciate the fact that you were able to just say no preconditions for taking this time for me today. So thank you for that. Obviously, it's been a few months now that you've come back. I'm wondering mostly what has been the response from other players in terms of your suspension and now coming back. Has there been any response negatively, positively from anyone?
No, not really. I've not heard any negative comments as of yet anyway. Most people have just sort of welcomed me back and, yeah, sort of got going. I played one tournament on the tour, which was Queens, and everyone was pretty cool there, so it was no issue. Yeah,
it's been interesting because in just talking to people myself, a lot of players are just like they don't really care, and I know that sounds kind of silly, but you know, nobody seems to really care that you know you've missed your time, and it's just like, okay, fine, go out and play.
Yeah, I think everyone's just sort of getting on with their own career,
yeah.
And that's sort of the way it is, and you know, it's I didn't expect them to care so much anyway, so it's pretty good the way it is now. Yeah.
I found it very interesting when I was thinking about when you were going to come back. I just kind of expected to be, frankly, for you to maybe come to the States or somewhere where the media attention wasn't going to be on you. Why choose those tournaments back home to kind of get started?
It was just the easiest place, really. There's no need to leave, like you just said. I'd serve my time and so I'm not going to run away from anything. I just thought it was the best place to play and suited my game, and yeah, it's that's what I did, and you know, it's I wasn't so bad at home either, so it was pretty low key, to be honest.
Do you think the media was fair to you back home?
The media is never really fair, to be honest. You know, they like you when you win, but then, you know, like any time you lose, if you know, last week I saw Cam Norrie lost in the semis and he's crashed out of the tournament.
Yeah,
it's not. You know, semi-finals is a good week. That's just the way it is, and that's the sport we're in.
It's different with you, though. You've now, I think, comeback number three for you, if I'm trying to do my math right, whether it be injury, suspension, and what have you. What do you think the media opinion is of you at this point, and what do you think it should be, or does it matter?
Doesn't really matter, to be honest. It's obviously it's one of those things now that's happened, and you know, the people who are close to me and who really matter, you know, their opinions are, I know their opinions of me and their beliefs in me, and I believe in myself now. So it's, it's going to be, you know, it's, you know, as the last few weeks, it's been difficult, but, you know, you still can just keep on going, and, you know, I don't see any reason why not. I won't be back to where I was.
I see so many players nowadays who are dealing with the PED stuff who say things got sprinkled into their pasta sauce or whatever.
Mm.
You didn't go that route. Like, it doesn't seem true to who you are to try to make up some sort of excuse. You just...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the other people who have been banned and their circumstances, but mine was I was guilty and had to sort of just take my punishment. Yeah.
So the one thing I did want to talk to you about a little bit was what your relationship is like with Mark Hilton. In terms of, obviously, you guys have been working together and such great things, and now he's with Ketters. How are you guys personally, professionally?
Professionally, there's, you know, like, well, first of all, I should start personally. He's still my friend. I'm still his friend. That was probably, if not the toughest conversation, you know, to tell him that out of everyone, including, you know, my girlfriend and my parents. I felt like I let him down a lot because obviously we had a good thing going, but, you know, I mean, every cloud, etc., you know, Hilton now has a better job, so it's I'm happy for him. You know, I hope it really does work out with Ked. You know, they've been doing great so far. I mean, there's obviously a coach share and stuff there, so with Fide, the other coach, but, you know, obviously Hiltz does a lot of the hard work as well, so it's we're great. I mean, spent a lot of time over the grass when we was all down in London. It's been, you know, I missed not being around all the guys.
Sure.
For the year I was away, I probably missed that the most. And, you know, now it's good to be back around everybody.
Yeah, I saw when we were in Binghamton, spending some time with Granollers, obviously Wardy, as well. What's it been like? Obviously, you've got those veterans, guys you came up with. In terms of what's it been like now with some of the 18, 19-year-olds, Jay Clark obviously making a big move. I remember a couple of years ago, you and Cam Norrie having a lot of banter here in Aptos. But talk about some of those younger Brits coming up and your relationship with them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know some of them that well. You know, obviously we're doing pretty well at the minute. I think it's been great. The success some of the guys have had. Obviously, Cam's doing really well. You know, I didn't really expect him not to do that well. I always thought he would do pretty well. Mm-hmm. He was always a good player. And yeah, it's, you know, it's great for British tennis, and not so much British tennis, for the guys themselves. You know, it's good that they're, you know, able to come up, and it seems like they're coming up a bit earlier than normal now.
Who are you working with right now in terms of giving you different set of eyes on your game? You obviously know your game incredibly well, but who else is taking a look at things?
A guy called Dave Falgate. He's back home at the minute. He works with a young guy called George Lofhagen as well.
Okay.
They have an academy called JTC, so there's Lloyd practices there, Katie Bolter practices there, Jack Draper, just made final of Junior Wimbledon. George Lofhagen practices there. There's a few guys there, some good girls as well. So he's sort of like the boss there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll be coming to. I'll play Cassis in Istanbul after this.
Okay.
So he's just doing some weeks with George at the minute. So yeah.
Okay. This is always interesting. You have some veteran guys. Somebody actually said to me last week, it's hard at maybe 25 plus coming back to places where you've played multiple times. Have you found it hard, Binghamton, Lexington, here in Aptos, in terms of the motivation level?
No, not really. Just found it hard to find my level. I don't find it that hard for the motivation. You know, I love playing tennis. You know, obviously it's not as easy as the bigger tournaments, but you know these weeks lead you into the bigger tournaments, so they've, you know, it's sort of a cog in the wheel, isn't it? So it's I you know, I like these tournaments a lot, actually. You know, Binghamton was a bit rough, but you know, Lexington, although I've never won a match there, it's always a good place to practice, I guess.
Yeah, I think you won a match. I think you won one match in like 2009 or something, or 2011, something like that.
But yeah, it's always good to practice there, I guess. And then I like it here, and obviously Vancouver's great. And that's it. That's the end of the trip for this year.
But do you don't have any struggles coming through qualies at this point, or and maybe seeing some guys, you know, playing in Los Cabos, those kind of things?
Well, listen, everybody who looks at the draws and the tournaments, they look and they wish it was them.
Yeah.
That's just human nature, I think. So, no, that's where I'm at the minute. And, you know, it's... You know, hopefully it won't be so long, but that's where my ranking is, and that's what I've got to do at the minute.
What's the thing you enjoyed the most about being away from the sport for a period of time?
Nothing. Yeah, nothing really.
Social life, anything like that? Getting to actually spend time with a girlfriend? I mean, those are things you don't get to do very much when you're on tour.
Yeah, obviously it's great to spend more time with your family, my girlfriend. But you know, this is the first thing sort of, you know, when you wake up in the morning, that's your sort of first thought, and mm-hmm. you know, without that for a year is tough. So no, I didn't, to be honest, I didn't enjoy any of the time I was off, if I'm deadly honest. Yeah.
So then, back on tour, having to go through qualies, last week you played a guy in J.J. Wolf, who is a college player, good college player here in the States, full on try hard every single point. Yeah. I mean, do you still have that same excitement, energy level now 3 or 4 months into the comeback that you did, say, 3 months ago?
Yeah, I just didn't play very well last week. I haven't played very well the last 2 weeks, to be honest. I'm getting better, but you know, it's just been difficult. You know, they started the trip with no practice because of the rain, and Binghamton for 4 days, sort of completely, there wasn't a gym there, it sort of scuppered everything. And then, you know, traveled to Lexington, played the first day, and then, you know, the guy played a good match. I was a bit rusty, and then you come here, and you know, it's sort of just you get some trips like that, some tournaments like that. You know, there's another week still. You know, you just got to keep going, I guess. And it's not rocket science. You got to keep getting on the practice court, I think, and just keep trying hard. And you know, you keep trying and working hard, I think your results they'll come. You know, it's just staying patient is a. You know, not getting too down, not getting too excited when you do win as well. It's you know, just compete hard and every ball, and we'll see. You know, if in a few years it's not worked out, it's not worked out.
Are you better at that now than you used to be? Because I mean, I can remember my first summer doing this, 2013. Just the peaks and the valleys for you were drastic. Mm. If you were up, you were way up. If you were down, it was awful.
I struggled when I was a bit younger, but probably when I got up pretty high was that's what I was doing best. You know, I didn't miss many days practicing. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, back to work sort of stuff. So, and that's what I'm trying to do again. You know, just where I can't gain on the other players, I try and gain. You know, like the days I'm not playing. You know, it's you know, got to just try and eke every bit of, you know, improvement out as I can.
It's I mentioned this last week actually during the broadcast. So the guys that first summer for me, because I started Winnetka 2013, it was Bradley Klon, it was you, then Bjorn Fratangelo the next year, some of those guys that have been kind of this core. And then I got to do your matches at the Australian Open, 2017. Mm. And it kind of, in some ways, I think people have attached my career in some ways to yours, because it rose and I got to do those matches. What were those peaks like for you now, the win over Tomic there? And what are your recollections of those when you're here and playing in qualies? I mean, do you still have that same recollection? Do you still feel like that's where your level is?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have doubts. Everyone has doubts, but I just... Yeah, you look back. I think when you're in the moment, you don't really take it in that much. Mm-hmm. You just go with it, I guess. But I look back now, and they were pretty good wins, you know. Obviously, I beat Cilic as well in that tournament.
Yeah.
No, I guess when I stopped playing, I'll look back at those tournaments and be you know, exceptionally proud of what I did in those matches. I mean, I guess I wish I just took it in a bit more.
Yeah.
Probably appreciated it more, not, you know, because obviously your level's there, you think that's the level, that's what you should, but if you look back, they're pretty good wins to beat Bernie and Australia. Mm-hmm. Obviously Cilic wasn't playing his best tennis, but still to get through, it was a big match. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if I get back to that level again, you know, I'll take and have those wins, I'll take, you know, take it more in the moment and enjoy it a bit more than not enjoy it as in go out, but, you know, take stock of what's happened.
Right.
And, you know, I think too many players now, they're right, we've won that match, you need to go in the ice bath, whereas, you know, you don't even sit down and think, fuck, what's just happened, sort
right.
of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I look back and they're great times, I guess.
It was such a funny week, just because everybody, you know, you're playing an exceptional level, and all everybody's talking about is what shirt you're wearing.
Yeah,
like
exactly,
that was
yeah.
so bizarre to me, because I've seen this progression from you know, my personal viewpoint, seeing this progression of some of the best, some of your worst, and all everybody wants to talk about
is
a shirt that you bought at a store.
Yeah,
it's crazy how that works.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but yeah.
No, what is your sponsorship situation right now? What are you doing with that?
No, nothing. I just started back playing, didn't I? So pretty much unsponsible at the minute. So yeah, it's try and win some matches and you never know.
Do you have an agent that you're working with in those regards? Anything?
No, not really. Just listen, my first focus is to get back up the rankings. I need to start winning some matches. And
yeah.
That's my only focus, I think. Well, definitely at the minute. Yeah.
So obviously last week, or I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, the whole situation with the transition tour got fully announced. I'm wondering, from your perspective, having now seen the whole gamut over your career, what are your thoughts on the transition tour? What do you think it will mean, big picture, for the ATP?
If I'm honest with you, I've only heard a few things of it, so I'm not sure what it really is. I do know that there's a hell of a lot of changes happening in the men's game, and I think there's a bit of a danger of losing its identity. I hope that doesn't happen. There's so many changes happening, like the shot clock. You know, I think it's, me personally, I think it's great when Rafa takes a long time. It brings up like the suspense of what's going to happen in the next point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just him either. I just used him, for instance, because everyone else uses him. I think if we're rushing it, I think that people, you won't get the quality of tennis. You know, like when there's a brutal point, these guys, they should take a bit longer. You know, it's not like the crowds are low, or I don't think they are anyway. In the Grand Slams, they seem like we're, I don't know, but it just feels like there's a lot of changes happening very quickly, and, you know, I hope it just doesn't lose its identity. You know, like, you know, there's rumblings of only going three sets in Grand Slams, where that, what would that do for tennis? You know, it's, I think five sets is brutal, I think, the physicality of it. So yeah, I just hope that we don't lose, you know, the classic game of tennis of five sets.
I think people will hear you say that, you know, with your kind of brashness on court, your attitude on court, and say, I wouldn't expect Dan Evans to be a traditionalist in that regard. But it seems like you have a respect for the purity of the sport in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no, yeah, I love tennis, so like, I think, you know, when I grew up, I wasn't watching Vienna 250 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I was watching the Grand Slams. I was watching Bjorkman against Rosetsky in 97 in US Open. I wasn't watching them play three sets at Winston-Salem.
Mm.
You know, you're watching them in a five-setter. And that's, you know, Davis Cup the same. I was watching Henman and Rosetsky play one and two, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think that's, and being part of five set matches, I think it's, being able to recover is a big, big part of it. And you see some players, you see some players get great on tour all year round, and you see they come to Grand Slams, they've never got past the second round. I think the best players have come through in the Grand Slams, and I think five sets shows the best player wins.
Okay, so I obviously come from a media perspective. Mm. How do we make it so that tennis is more accepted and much easier to be a television sport?
I think it's a great sport for television. You know, if people are, I don't know if they're getting great television rights or not.
Yeah.
But, you know,
The reason I ask is because, yeah, you know, you talk about the five setters, like 6 hours. Who has 6 hours to watch something, right? You know, in terms of a five setter, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. How do we make it so that people can sit down and make just have a little bit more access to tennis?
But if you get involved in a five set match, me personally, I don't particularly like watching tennis. But if I got involved in a women's three set and it was a good match, mm-hmm, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
If that match brings you in, it brings you in. Like, I don't think you can make tennis accessible. It either gets you or it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's like I think it's just the same as a television program. It either gets you or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, there'll be some men's matches where I'll look at it and go, no thanks. But then there'll be some others where I think, oh no, that's got me. You know,
yeah.
Everyone said how boring. Who was it? It was Anderson and Isner.
Isner, yeah.
But that's the game. Like, you've got to recover for the next day. They're moaning as soon as they come up. That's the game. And the next day, you've got to... I think it's great. Like, how good's that for an advert for tennis? I think it's a great advert.
It's funny because...
People said it was awful, but I think, you know, what other sport can just keep going like that?
Yeah.
We always look at the negative of it, but I think it was unbelievable. I watched the whole thing.
You weren't watching the Winnetka doubles match that I was broadcasting?
No, I wasn't.
So then how do we do it here? You know, we're at a challenger, and in 20 minutes I'm going to be on the air broadcasting Evan King and Michael Moe. How do we do it so that those type of matches have that same grip? If you're in the television side, the media side.
Yeah, but it's...
Or do you think it's truly up to the players to have that grip on people?
Yeah, it's like... challengers are never gonna get that grip. But you look here, what was it? 3 years ago, Nishioka hit the shot behind his back?
Right.
How many times did that get played on YouTube? If it's just what happens, if someone's watching that match, you know, it's a great match. Someone says, oh, go watch this. Are you watching the live stream? That's how it happens. It's like, or you're watching this episode of that. No, mm-hmm. No, flick it on. It's just, it's a knock-on effect, isn't it?
It's
if the match is good. If it's not, then, because a hell of a lot of the pros, I think, watch these matches when they're in the hotel rooms, whatever level.
Yeah.
I know Murray for sure is watching the Brits.
Yes.
And I'd say a lot of the other good players, they'll be watching, I think. So every tennis player is doing the same as whatever level you're at. You're in the hotel room at night.
Yeah.
Every tennis player, it doesn't matter what level you are, you're still in a hotel room. If you're at a tournament,
yeah,
still got nothing to do.
Yeah.
You're flicking it on if you want to watch something.
It seems like you always had... or took a responsibility of having some level of entertainment when you played.
Mm.
Is that an accurate assessment, or?
Not really. I'm pretty energized as on court, because I need to, for my game. I mean, I guess it's just my personality. You know, I like to, not to be heard, but it's just, I express myself on the court. I feel I play better when I do. Whatever tournament it is, to be honest, it's just, you know, that gets the best out of my game.
It's interesting because I think it seems such a British thing to say. I like the banter of you guys it's absurd.
Yeah, I think the guys are... it is a little tough sometimes, I think, on some of the guys. No, it's good fun. I mean, you know, I think everyone will look back at these summers and, you know, everyone looks forward to coming to America, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, this is where you have the most fun, I guess. I mean, I remember the year I played Atlanta and those tournaments, mm-hmm. and all the others were playing here. It was like I was on my own in Atlanta and all the other guys were here. So, I mean, no, it's... I really enjoy playing these tournaments, and you know, I'd still like to dip in and out of them when hopefully I get back up.
Yeah. So how are you approaching this in terms of an expectation level for yourself on court? You know, your play itself versus the rankings. How do you approach that now? Because you know as well as anybody, sometimes your level of play doesn't equal the level of your rank.
Yeah, like I said, I thought I played pretty well. I didn't play badly yesterday. Like, my level was okay, but the bigger points, I was poor. Served as well as I served the whole time I've been back yesterday, I thought. Yeah, I mean, listen, you just got to be positive and patient, I think. Because, you know, like, 1 week takes you right back up there in whatever tournament it is. You know, I had a decent summer over the grass, to be honest, which, you know, surprised me as well. But this is the proper game out in America on the outdoor hard courts. You know, the grass is a full surface, in my opinion. It's not, you know, like, you can get wins. I can get wins by slicing. The other players don't really know what to do if it stays so low.
Yeah.
It's not so physical. So, yeah, you know, I've just got to see how I fare and just play out to the end of the year and just, you know, hopefully being Australia at the end of the year, hopefully to be able to start in Australia in qualies. I mean, that's the goal, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you had a goal and that's it? I mean, really?
Yeah, that's it. There's no point in being super ambitious because if I'm above that, then great, but...
Yeah.
You know, if I snuck in by two spots, I'd be happy as well.
I'm looking at your tattoo.
Yeah.
The one every saint has a past, every sinner has a few. I mean, it seems very apropos for you, just very appropriate.
Yeah. Yes, just. I had it when I was younger to hopefully not make any more mistakes, but. Obviously, I made the biggest one at last, but yeah, it's I'm back enjoying what I'm doing, so it's good at the minute.
And that's the important thing. It's been fun getting to actually chat with you again.
Perfect.
Over the last couple of weeks. And as I always say, I hope I don't get to chat with you very much anymore, and that you're no longer here. But thank you for the time.
No problem.
Appreciate it. And again, help us buy our coffee, a double espresso it was for Dan Evans today, patreon.com/MikeCTennis, and we'll talk to you next week.